Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, a big NFL weekend, and we bring in our buddy John McClain to talk more about it. John, hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did, guys, and I hope you did too. And it's this is a time of year when you separate the pretenders from the contenders. We have great races going on in both conferences, and people are overlooking another great race. A great race to get the first pick in the draft, in which the Titans are hanging on for dear life because they got the Giants, the Raiders, and the Saints breathing down their necks. And of those teams, you know, you look at the Raiders need a quarterback. The Saints are probably going to need a quarterback. The Giants don't. So the key is to get one of those teams or one of the three or four win teams. And remember, when the Bears made that deal with Carolina, it put the Bears, I believe, in the ninth spot. And it's worked out quite well for the Bears as it has the Patriots in their rebuilds. But good thing about your game yesterday, after that opening field goal, you didn't have to worry about the Titans threatening to be number one. And you could go, because you guys are going to have the most fun in the offseason.
Yep. Two years in a row with the number one overall pick is how it's looking for the Tennessee Titans. Are the Texans making this interesting now? I mean, the AFC South is, I mean, Jags and Colts, and then the Texans are one game back, but they beat the Colts 20-16. I feel like they're surging at the right time.
They've won four in a row. It was a November to remember. They lost at the first. On a field goal to the Broncos. Broncos won by three, and T.J. Stroud got hurt in that game, and Davis Mills came off the bench and couldn't do squat, and so they got beat on the late field goal. But then they won the next four. So they go to Kansas City Sunday night, riding a great streak, not by the offense, but by the defense. The offense scores just enough to get by. Texans still lead the NFL, fewest points allowed and fewest yards. And they haven't won in Kansas City since 2019 when they won in regular season. Mahomes threw three touchdown passes, but they still beat them. And then they had them down 24-0 in the playoffs in the first half. And then it got crushed with the biggest choke job in Texans history, the second biggest choke job in Houston history, to the Oilers and the Bills after the 92 season. And the Chiefs are struggling in some areas. And so we'll see. It'll be Mahomes against the Texans defense. C.J. Stroud came back 3 for 276 yards. He was off target. You could tell he was rusty from missing 3.5 games. But it's been fun. Indy goes to Jacksonville, the first of their two games. And I'm guessing Jacksonville's going to win, take over sole possession, and the Colts will lose. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Colts miss the playoffs, because the formula for beating them is to contain Jonathan Taylor and let Daniel Jones beat you. And now that he has that fractured fibula and can't move the way he usually does, he's not a running threat, and you have Lawrence is healthy. I still have a hard time believing in the Jaguars, but right now, if I were picking the division winner, I would pick the Jaguars. I just went over the remaining games, and I picked the Jaguars to be 11-6, Texans 10-7, and Colts 9-8.
You know, John, I look at this Texans team. Their four losses are all by one possession, one score losses, and their last four wins are all one score wins. So this football team loves to give you a heart attack, but I mean, they're knowing how to win. I know that's we all know this, but this football team is getting hot at the right time, and they are fun to watch, John.
Joe, there's only one player left, but in 2018 under Bill O'Brien, they started 0-3. Then they won 9 in a row. That's the year that Deshaun Watson had the punctured lung and broken ribs and couldn't fly, so they had to take the luxury coach to a road game in Jacksonville, and they beat the Jaguars with defense. And so here, fans at least, were saying, you know, remember 2018. Their offense, to me, it's too inconsistent. The offensive line, they've just started the same group three games in a row, and it's been better, but their offense is still suspect. But the defense is great, but I don't see them doing any damage if they're a wild card team. I think they'd be one and done. If they were to pull out the division and they split with the Jaguars, then I think they'd be capable of winning a divisional playoff game here for the third year in a row before losing on the road. But it's been fun to watch it after that 0-3 start. And when I think about that 0-3 start, a 5-point loss at the Rams, in which you give up 14 points and you lose 14-9, then you lose 1 point to the Buccaneers when the defense had its worst series of the season. All they had to do is stop Baker Mayfield one last drive to win. They couldn't do it. Bucs win by one. And then they're playing at Jacksonville. They lose by 7, and they had 3 turnovers in Jacksonville's red zone in the fourth quarter. So they were close to winning that one. But then, Joe, they were doing just what it took to lose. Now they're doing just what it takes to win.
I love it. John, we're going to be watching Monday Night Football tonight as the Patriots take on the Giants. And isn't it funny, you look back, the first game of the year, the Raiders beat the Patriots 20-13. It wasn't even that close. And you're thinking, oh, boy, Mike Vrabel's in for a long year. But John, see this football team at 10-2, and the schedule, Giants, Bills, Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins down the stretch, this sets up great for them. Plus, they got a bye week, John. So your thoughts on Vrabel and where this team sits right now as you head into their bye week after tonight's game?
All this came a year early. I think most everybody looked at what the Patriots had a great young quarterback, didn't have a lot of playmakers, needed a lot of talent, had more money than any team in the league to spend on the cap. So it would take 2 off seasons for them to be competitive and have a chance to win a wild card berth. No way they were going to overtake the Bills because the Bills are dominating the division the way the Patriots used to. And then lo and behold, they won 9 in a row. Vrabel's coach of the year. Ben Johnson will finish second in coach of the year unless something happens and the Patriots collapse. And teams like the Bears and the Patriots should give every bad team in the league, like the Titans, hope for what they can do if you make the right personnel decisions in your front office, and then you have the right staff to coach them. And I'm happy for Vrabel. I still think that if we were talking today on one of my shows about if you go to the AFC Championship game and it's New England and Denver, you got a great defense by the Broncos who keep winning by the hair on their chinny chin chins, like Marcus Mariota last night. If he had thrown that last pass in overtime 1 inch higher,
yeah,
Nick Benito wouldn't have been able to knock it down, and they would have scored the 2-point conversion and upset the Broncos. But that's what it's going to come down to, barring upsets. And really, when you see where these teams have come from and rebuilding so quick, it wouldn't surprise me if both of them get that far. But it also won't surprise me if they get beat and neither one of them makes the AFC Championship game.
All right, great point. John, let me ask you about Art Smith. I mean, he's been mentioned for some head coaching places. You know, I would love to have seen here in Nashville. But as bad as they're playing, and he's the coordinator, does this adversely affect him getting a head coaching job?
Absolutely, it does. You know, team owners will say they don't care about what the fans and the media think, and they shouldn't when it comes to strategy. But you, when you're trying to sell tickets, you don't have to hit a grand slam, but they want somebody that comes from a winning organization so they can hang their hat on it. And since Arthur left there, you know, he didn't have a quarterback in Atlanta. And then he goes to Pittsburgh, and none of those decisions are his. Now he's got Aaron Rodgers, who's turning 42, I think, this week. And but I would think, yes, it hurts him. And I go back to Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel had a terrible season. 2017 here, it wasn't his fault. Deshaun Watson got hurt, blew out his ACL about halfway through the year, and they were terrible the rest of the year. And John Robinson knew it wasn't Vrabel's fault and hired him. Turned out to be a great move. And Arthur, I don't know, because I don't know enough about him other than the fact I think four coaches kept him. So that shows you how much they thought about him. And before I made a decision like that, I would call guys like Mike Munchak, and I'd call guys like John Robinson, and I would pick their brain and see what they said about it. But it does hurt, and it helps to have somebody like Robinson with Vrabel, who is familiar with his strengths and doesn't care what his record was in his last season with the team, and you have the courage of your convictions, and if it works out, you look really smart.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, continuing with John McClain. John, I know we usually just talk NFL with you, but I am curious of your thoughts on how Lane Kiffin has handled the situation of leaving Ole Miss for LSU. I know that the late Al Davis did not have any love lost for Lane Kiffin, but just your thoughts on the whole situation.
Well, I read and watched and listened to everything I could because it was fascinating, as so much as is in the SEC. And Lane's a lot better coach than he was with Al Davis, USC, Tennessee. He proved that at Florida Atlantic, and then he proved it at Ole Miss. But I think everybody knew he wasn't going to stay at Ole Miss. I'm surprised that the Titans or the Giants didn't reach out. Maybe they did. And offer him a chance to come there. If he went and it didn't work out, he could go back to college and be the hottest coach in the country. And so I didn't like the way, if it was true that he was supposedly threatening to take a bunch of people, coaches and players, if he did not get the coach. If you're in the same conference and you're big rivals, there's no way he should have been coaching them from here on out. And I think the AD made the right decision, and I watched those videos of when he was leaving Oxford and all those fans holding up the number one sign as he left on his plane. And then when he arrived, all the fans were holding up a different number one sign that they expect to win. So I thought it was just fascinating. But you know what? Any of us, if you guys had been the number one show there for 50 years, and you were making good money, but somebody offered you a chance to go for, you know, to quintuple your contract, you're gone.
Yeah.
Any of us would do that. By the way, I've been doing a little research, and it's depressing, but I want you guys and your listeners to know what suffering is, because you don't know what suffering is. You think you got it bad now 2 years in a row. How about this? From 1968 through 1974, the Oilers did not have a winning record. And in 1970, they were 3-10-1. Then they went 4-9-1. That was six in a row without a winning record. And then in 72, 1-13. 73, 1-13. And finally in 74, when Sid Gilman was hired, they were 7-7. And then they hired Bum Phillips, and it changed the complexion. They got the right coach, and it turned everything around. And then when I was covering them, 81 through 86, they lost every year, and they won 7-1-2-3-4-5-5 games. That is suffering.
Yeah, I would say that is very true. John McClain is here with us. With Joe Burrow coming back for Cincinnati, I don't think they have a chance of winning that division, but are they going to make it more difficult for either Baltimore or Pittsburgh on the road to winning that division? They've already beaten Baltimore.
I tell you what, Chase, those teams are making it difficult enough for themselves. But the answer is yes. If Burrow plays, he got to figure. He's going to be better than he was in the game where he beat the Ravens, because he's healthy. He's itching to get back out there. I think it's very admirable that he's doing it. And that division's awful. My God, the Steelers were terrible last night. Aaron Rodgers was awful last night. Their defense was terrible. This could be the first losing season for Tomlin. Fans are firing, chanting fire Tomlin, and maybe this is the year they decide they should make the change. But I think the division winner is going to have a losing record.
Well, it's interesting. John, your thoughts on the Panthers? I know they asked you about them last week. They had the tough game, Monday night game versus the Niners. But winning over the Rams yesterday and the way they did it, I mean, you talk about Vrabel being ahead of schedule. Is this Panthers team a year or two ahead of schedule?
Joe, I bet when we talked about them last week, you don't remember that I said I thought they would beat the Rams, right?
If you say so, I believe you.
You must have been in the bathroom. And they are up and down. If you look at the teams they've lost to, it's such a roller coaster. And there was a good story in Athletic today. When's the last time you heard Dave Tepper's name? Dave Tepper, the owner, was interfering with everything. They had nothing but losing seasons. And then last year when he hired Canales and they rebuilt the front office, he disappeared. He still keeps up with things, but he's being a legitimate owner. He's disappeared, and they've done well. They could win that division. You know, Buccaneers won. Buccaneers supposed to get Mike Evans and some more injured players back. They got Bucky Irving back yesterday, but it's going to be a two-team race. I would still go with the Buccaneers because of when I think of Mayfield versus Young, I would still take Mayfield, but boy, the fans of Panthers got to be fired up about next season.
John, are you in favor of putting a shock collar on Dan Campbell so when he makes these fourth down calls, somebody can buzz down and say, we're not doing that, kick the field goal or do whatever, because at some point he's going to lose his job because of these fourth down calls that he goes for?
It ceased being funny and cute.
Right.
About 2 years ago, it cost him a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And I think, like, I totally disagreed with Nick Sirianni going for two when he went for two. You don't go for two until you have to have two. Somebody went for two in the first quarter yesterday. It's not right. Important to do it because they're looking at a chart. The chart doesn't tell you who you're playing, where you're playing, what the conditions are, who's hurt, who's playing great against your offensive lineman. It ignores all that, and you have to take it into consideration. And at some point, Campbell's going to start getting booed like crazy. And if he loses to the Cowboys because of his dumbass decisions on fourth down, they're going to boo him out of the stadium.
Oh, exactly. John, the Raiders, I mean – if Al Davis was around, what would he think about this football team? Because I know they weren't great in the latter years of his life, but they are awful, John. They're just really bad. And I see no way. Only Pete Carroll comes back unless Tom Brady says, I'm bringing him back.
Well, Pete Carroll came back, and they made him take certain coaches. You know, he thought he was going to run his offense and defense. He's not. And there's a story that came out on NFL Network yesterday that are shocking, obviously leaked by somebody in the organization, that Chip Kelly would call plays that weren't in the book. He would call formations that were the opposite of what you get out there. The players were lining up wrong because he hadn't taught them. And it just made him look incompetent, but he's not laughing all the way to the bank because he got $6 million a year. And I think if I'm Pete Carroll, and I know he was desperate, but him wanting to come back again, if they're going to tell him who his coaches are, he needs to ride off in the sunset, go back to USC and teach, because it's not worth ruining his legacy with an organization like the one he has. And I'll say this about Tom Brady. I watched his soccer special when he took over the soccer team in Birmingham. In London, the second biggest city in London. They fired their coach, and the first guy they hired, Wayne Rooney, turned out to be a disaster. He was hired because of his name.
Right.
And then they fired him, and then they got it right. So maybe that's what's going to happen with the Raiders. I feel bad for Pete Carroll. He thought it was going to be a whole lot different. If those stories are true about Chip Kelly, man, oh, man, does he look incompetent.
Oh, absolutely. John, before you go, the Seahawks, I mean, they beat down the Vikings yesterday. They're quietly really, really good. Nobody talks about them, but they are complete. They right now, they have the differential in the NFL, plus 133. Nobody's really close to them on that. But, Mike McDonald's got something going there. They do great on the road, and – unfortunate, they got to play the Rams and the Niners down the stretch, but damn, they're good.
They're 5-1 on the road. You can't count that game yesterday. That's like an exhibition game because of the poor rookie quarterback. His rating was worse than if he had thrown the ball in the dirt on every pass play. If he had dirted every pass, it would have been better than what his was. And that underhanded throw that turned into a pick six on 4th and 1, that may be as bad a performance you've ever seen in the NFL. And I've seen a lot of bad ones. But, yes, they're good all around. And the fact that they're good on the road and may have to go on the road is great. And it just reminded me of what a terrible, terrible decision Minnesota made by sticking with J.J. McCarthy, letting Sam Darnold walk, and letting Daniel Jones get away. They're now in last place, and they deserve it.
John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you very much. Don't let the Titans screw this up.
Well, we'll try not to. Hey, Jack called in earlier. I'm pretty sure that was the same Jack that blamed me. So, you know.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
615-737-1025. We'll react to some of that and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.